2 Corinthians 4. And verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And today, it's true as it was last week, that we walk by faith and not by sight. On the walk of faith, we can be pulled off course by other things. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the whole thing about being pulled off the walk of faith by following favors, by which we meant following Jesus for what he does and for what he gives, rather than fundamentally for who he is. Following with a getting mentality rather than following with a giving mentality, seeking to have our needs met rather than seeking to meet the needs of others. We need to be other-centered and centered upon him for who he is in order to keep on following in faith. And then last week, we looked at perhaps some slight controversial matters, at least in the middle of the word, on following fads, on the fact that the latest Christian in thing can pull us off the course that we thought we were going on. and can divert us off, as it were, the M6 of God's purposes into the back streets and the side streets of something which may result in us, through a detour, eventually coming back on course, or may result in us becoming lost in some cul-de-sac and having to ask for help to get back on the purposes of God. And this week, well, I'm looking around the worship today and I'm seeing that a number of us seem to be trying to press through our feelings. And this week, interestingly enough, we're looking at the idea that we can be pulled off the walk of faith by our feelings, or even by our lack of feelings, by flatness of feelings. That here we are, and this guy up the front says that we're in the presence of God, and hey, I feel nothing. I don't know if I'm in the presence of God or in the high street. It can't be in the high street. It's not cold enough. It must be somewhere else. Right now, if I see the walls, but I don't see the presence of God, and I don't feel anything. Well, nobody said that we have to feel the presence of God all the time to know the presence of God. But we can be pulled off by our feelings or by our lack of feelings. Let's just go straight in. I'm going to ask you to turn with me back all the way to 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings. The way to find 2 Kings is just to find 1 Kings and then just go one to the right. Now, 2 Kings 2 is a story of Elisha, the junior prophet, and Elijah, the senior prophet, in the handover time between the two, as the one handed over to the other one. And we won't take time to read the whole chapter, but the story is that Elisha knows that his master Elijah that day will be taken up to heaven, will be taken home. He knows that. He meets the company of the rest of the prophets, or some of them, and they know it too. And they say, "Do you know that?" And he says, "Yes, I know that." And yet he's following Elijah all around. Elijah keeps trying to put him off and say, "I'm going this way, you stay here. I'm going over here, you stay here." But he's not going to let himself be put off, but with dogged persistence and perseverance, he says, "No, as surely as you live and as I live, I'm with you. I'm going with you." And so he's all over the country. And if you have a map and you follow all the stuff they did there, it's a good day's walk, all right, all round about this place and this place, as Elisha doggedly follows Elijah. And then in verse 9, we just pick up the story. When they'd crossed, which is the Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said, "yet," now here's a promise, "if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." And as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Now what would you have looked at? If chariots of fire and horses of fire suddenly appear and they separate you from your master Elijah, what would you have looked at as he's taken up to heaven in a whirlwind? Probably the chariots of fire and the horses of fire. But the promise to Elisha was, if you see me when I'm taken from you, then it's yours, not otherwise. And apparently, in spite of all this stuff, Elisha saw Elijah, because it goes on, it says this. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." Now, if you were in a crisis, nobody would really hold you accountable for what you said either. But anyway, Elisha saw Elijah go up in the whirlwind. So he fulfilled the condition. And so what was supposed to come to him now was a double portion of the spirit that had been upon Elijah. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. And he picked up the cloak or the mantle that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. There he took the cloak that had fallen from him, struck the water with it, and said, "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Please note, he'd fulfilled the condition. And now he had a right to feel, well, where's my double portion? Old Elijah said to me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? And I said, give me a double portion of your spirit. And he said, if you see me when I go, then it's yours. Well, I saw him when he went, yet I still feel like Elisha. Where's my double portion? He could have felt that. What did he have to do? What does faith say? Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Therefore, well, I saw him when he went, I fulfilled the condition, therefore I should have a double portion. Therefore I should have a double portion. So we pick up the mantle that fell back from Elijah, roll it up, take it, strike the waters, and it goes on. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and the left, and he crossed over. And the company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went to meet him, and so the story goes on. They recognized that something had transferred from Elijah onto Elisha. Excuse me. But it didn't transfer in any other way, it seems, other than he just said, well, I'm supposed to have it, so I just need to act accordingly. He had to believe God that he'd received it, roll up the mantle, and do the things he was supposed to do if he was acting like Elijah, and move in faith. Just an illustration of the fact that sometimes the feelings might not be there, but we still need to move in faith. Now let's turn to John 14, please. John 14. We know where that is, perhaps more easily. The way to find John 14 is to find John 13 and just go one chapter right. It's good to learn your Bible. John 14:12. This is Jesus now speaking. Powerful words, challenging words. He says this, verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. That's the context. Anyone who has faith in me. We need to have faith in Jesus. Actually, we do have faith in Jesus, isn't that right? Anyone who has faith in me, he says, will do what I've been doing. He, now that is one who has faith in me, he will do even greater things than these. Now that's really challenging. Even greater things than Jesus was doing? Do you really believe that? That you and I are supposed to be or are able or something or other to do even greater things than Jesus was doing? Why? Because I am going to the Father. Please note that's the condition. He will do, this is you and me, he will do even greater things. Why? Because Jesus is going to the Father. Now when he said this, it was future. As we read this, guess what? It's past. He has gone to the Father. And if you wake up this morning and you don't feel like anything, you don't feel good, you don't feel spiritual, you don't feel like you've got anything in God, guess what? Jesus has still gone to the Father. It still happened. Nothing's changed as regards that. And the condition of this promise is Jesus and his having gone to the Father. See, we sometimes sing a song, Jesus, Jesus, Holy and Anointed One. And that's good. It's a good song. And we need to realize that in his eyes, we too in Jesus are holy and anointed ones. Christian really means little anointed one. But even if you don't feel holy, and even if you don't feel anointed, actually, you still need to function in faith. Jesus has still gone to the Father, and we still can do what he's been doing, even greater things. In other words, pick up the mantle, roll it up, and use it. Moving by faith. Well, let's look at the problem. We don't focus on the problem, but we don't dodge them either. The problem comes when faith and feelings go their separate ways. When you first begin to move in faith, or perhaps you first begin to get prophetic impressions, words of knowledge, or perhaps you just get saved, you know, whatever level we're at here, we say, oh, it's great, it feels great, it feels tremendous, exciting, encouraging, and we're moving in the right way, moving forward in God, and the feelings are all there, and it's fine. Well, enjoy it. But the problem is, there may come a time when the feelings disappear. And you think, the feelings are behind me, I need to be behind me too. Or maybe the feelings go off this way, and we're just not sure the Word of God goes that way, and faith seems to go this way, and so we're supposed to be doing things, and we feel like doing some other things. And we know they're not right, not good to do, but they are our feelings. We'd love to do that. I'm fed up being nice. I want to go over here and be nasty. Faith goes one way and feelings go a different way. And that's the problem when faith and feelings go a separate way, because we can be pulled off the walk of faith by our feelings. Either because we no longer have the same assuring feelings that we used to have. We're still doing the same things, but we don't feel the same feelings, and we wonder if it's real now. And it calls into question, well, was it ever real in the first place, at least as far as our feelings are concerned? Or alternatively, our strong feelings, our strong urges, our strong inclinations are leading us the wrong way. See, we have all heard the phrase, if it feels good, do it. And we understand, I trust, that that's not a helpful phrase. We recognize that as an unhelpful concept in spiritual circles. If it feels good, do it. But it's still possible to feel things very deeply and to feel real gut things, very deep things, and it not to be God, actually. It's possible to feel very deep things and have very deep convictions which are very deep flesh. Possible. In other words, it's possible to be deceived even by our own very strong feelings. And we need to discern if faith and feelings are parting company, and the way it's right to go on the walk of faith is a different way from even the walk that we really feel we should be going. I want to say this. Faith is not a feeling. I guess you can feel faith, but you can also have faith without feeling it. And you can feel something that's not faith. This is the off-the-cuff stuff. Let me stick to what I intend to say. We can have faith, and we can have feelings. But we can have faith without feelings, and we can also have feelings without faith. In other words, faith and feelings don't necessarily line up together. We can have positive feelings or negative feelings or both. And they can operate independently of faith. But we're not led by feelings, isn't that so? What does it say in Romans 8? It says, for those who are led by their feelings, they are the sons of God. Is that right? What does it say? Those who are led by... Come on now, who knows the Bible? It's Romans 8. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're not led by feelings. We're led by the Spirit. And we respond to the Spirit's leading as we walk in faith. He leads and we follow in faith. And if we do that, if we let Him lead, if we hear what He's saying, if we follow in faith, then the feelings will follow along behind, and that's what they're supposed to do. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we're not led by feelings, and faith isn't a feeling. Sometimes language is unhelpful. Sometimes you'll hear people say, you even hear me say, I heard myself say it during the week several times. I feel like God wants to do this. I feel like God wants to do this. That's not really in the realm of feelings, actually. What I really mean when I say that is, I believe this is what God is saying through an inward impression to my own heart. I'm not going by feelings like, my left hand feels like it wants to go this way, therefore God wants to do something over here. That isn't it. It's not weird. It's not super spiritual claptrap. It's not this spiritual spook type stuff. It's just that there's an inner knowing, which is the Spirit of God. And if we're led by the Spirit of God, it says then we're the sons of God. If we're sons of God, then we're led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And if we follow in faith, feelings will fall along behind. I don't think I'm going to be long today. I just thought I'd encourage you with that knowledge. Don't wait for the feelings. Function by faith. Now, if you can only take one sentence today, then take that one. Don't wait for the feelings. Function by faith. Don't wait for the feelings. Function by faith. Pick up the mantle and use it. Don't wait for the feelings. Function by faith. Christians can tend to be like mild Dr. Bruce Banner. So we know Dr. Bruce Banner. Dr. Bruce Banner, this ordinary scientific gentleman, quite civilized. When he gets angry or under stress, all of a sudden the shirt splits, the skin goes green, and out comes the Incredible Hulk. And that's what some Christians are like, isn't it? That's what we're like sometimes, isn't it? We're here, but we just feel like, you know, Dr. Bruce Banner. And we're waiting till the shirt splits and the muscles ripple and the skin turns green. And then we know we've got it. And then we know that we can go and be God's man of faith and power. God's Incredible Hulk. Now, there may well come times, you know, there may well be times when there you are, and all of a sudden your shirt splits, your skin goes, and there you go. And you say, I know I've got it. Hallelujah. But much of the time, hey, most of the time, we go as Dr. Bruce Banner. But we still have the anointing of God upon us, because we have the anointing that abides. So we don't wait for the feelings and the rip down the back. We don't wait for that. We just do it anyway. We don't wait for the feelings. We function by faith because we do have it. We've got it. If you're saved today, you've got it. You've got Jesus. Christ dwells in your heart through faith. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not just in the corporate thing, though that's true as well, but in you, and you, and each individual. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He dwells in your heart through faith. The body corporately is a temple of the Holy Spirit in which He dwells by His Spirit. But the body individually, Colin, and Jim, and Rocco. By the way, meet these Dutch folk at the end because, you know, they're Dutch. All right, Rocco. Ruth, and all the people who wish that I wouldn't name their names, are all individually temples of the Holy Spirit in which God dwells by His Spirit. So you've got it. So don't wait for your skin to go green. You've got it anyway. Did ever when you began to prophesy, perhaps you haven't begun yet. Some people, when they begin to prophesy, there they are in a worship time. And I think, oh no, oh yes, oh yes and no, both at the same time. I think I might have a word of prophecy. I've never done it before. Oh, what do I do? I've got these thoughts in my mind. I've got these words. And the face begins to go red. And they begin to join the white knuckle braid as they hold the seat in front of them and rock back and forward. And they think, everybody's behind the seat. Oh, and the heart's going, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. And the palms begin to sweat. And they think, goodness me, there's pores there at all. And the And then finally you struggle, and there's a moment, and you say, it's now and never, it's now. And you open your mouth and you say, God says, I love you. And it's, oh, oh, oh. And the second time it's much the same, and you think, well, this is what happens. You listen, oh yeah, I'm going to prophesy. All right. No. But by the third or fourth time, you have the same inward impressions, the same words begin to form perhaps, or you just know it's something's going to happen and you're it. But you say, well, it can't be, because I haven't got sweaty palms. They look all right. My knuckles are not bad. My heart's quite normal. I can't have a word. I'm just imagining it. What's happened is that the Lord is grooming us off the feelings. Why? Because we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. In exactly the same way, as we do things differently with our own babies and infants and children from what would happen when they're adults and they stand on their own two feet. The Lord does that to us as He teaches us, as He instructs us, as He trains us. Sometimes we know it's easy when we feel it and we think, oh, praise God. And the feelings can be in there. But there will come a point where systematically we're groomed off the feelings, not to say that they never are there again. That's not true at all. But we need to be able to function even without the feelings. And we need to be able, if we prophesy, to prophesy when we don't feel anything in particular, but we just know that the Lord wants us to prophesy. Don't be frightened by that. It just happens, and it happens quite naturally. The feelings can gradually adjust. But what happens is that we think we've lost it. We've lost the anointing. We've lost the presence of God. I used to feel God's presence in the meetings. Now I don't feel God's presence at all. Well, it may be something's going on, but it may just be that there's a season, maybe even just a short 5-minute season, maybe a 5-week season, but a season in which something is just different, and perhaps later on you begin to feel little bits of God's presence more and more. But still, even whether you feel it or not, function by faith. If you're praying for the sick or being prayed for, you may feel heat, you may feel a tingle, you may feel the palpitations again, you may have the sweats all over again, or you may feel nothing. I mean, zero. Nothing. There you are, somebody's praying for you, and they're all this stuff, and you feel nothing. Or you're praying for somebody, and you think, oh, I'd love this person to be healed. And you feel nothing. Sometimes you feel lots of things. Sometimes you feel nothing. Please know that that does not mean a whole lot. Because God can do it anyway. You may feel spiritual. You may come in today or another week, perhaps next week, you may feel really spiritual, really close to God. Or you may feel nothing. Well, it may not be that you've backslidden over the week. It may actually be that you just don't feel anything. But that doesn't affect things because it doesn't affect the basis of your relationship with God. See, if you have a relationship with God through Jesus, whether you feel good or feel bad, whether you feel spiritual, watch these ones, whether you feel spiritual or whether you feel the opposite, whatever that is, And there's no reason for it. I'm not saying make excuse for sin. I'm just saying, I don't know what's wrong. I just don't feel the same way I felt last week. Well, it doesn't affect your relationship with God through Jesus, because that's a given. If you're in relationship with God through Jesus, then you're in relationship with God through Jesus. And if you feel heat or a tingle or nothing or cold or icicles or goosebumps, or if you're flat on the floor or standing on your feet or on your chair, swinging from the chandeliers or sitting quietly with arms folded, it's not affecting your relationship with Jesus. That's a given. We're not governed by feelings. We walk in faith. Now, sometimes our feelings can be changing, fluctuating, and inaccurate. Last week we had a healing meeting, you may remember if you were here. And at one point I remember praying with somebody, I think it was Sis. There they are, you were in blue last week, weren't you? It was blue, I remember blue. How's your elbow? Fine, good. Great, I'm glad you said fine. That helps the story. Sis came out, stood about there, I came in to meet him. And you may remember, if you were here, he felt heat and I felt heat. Now, folks, that's very unusual. Often what happens is the person feels heat or something else and I feel nothing. Or I feel heat, nothing. Praise God, it's working. And they feel nothing. Or sometimes it happens like it happened then. Sometimes I feel nothing. And I say, do you feel anything? And they say, no. God still moves anyway. I just like you to know that when we pray for the sick here, certainly when I pray for the sick, I'll be personal. Sometimes, in fact, most all the time, you're fighting the battle that says, nothing's happening, it's not going to work anyway. What are you doing this for, you idiot? What will you do when the person says, well, I'm not healed? How will you handle that? And all the time you're praying, and they all think, oh, God's man of faith and power. And you know, oh, God, do something, please. They're trying to be real. That's the way our mind works. It's not the way our heart works, because we can doubt in the mind and not doubt in the heart. We discussed that several weeks ago also. We can believe God in our heart and still our mind floods all these thoughts of us that we don't quite know how to handle. Morning, and I was so sleepy, I almost couldn't pray at all. Couldn't force the words out. Couldn't keep my mind on anything. And I'm literally walking about staggering with sleep or sleepy feelings for a bit. And I felt the Lord may have given me some reason as to what that was, but I wasn't really 100% sure of it. I wrote it down, and then I promptly forgot about it all day. So I got through the day, sort of normal day, when you just do this and do this and do all you're supposed to do. And then it's one of those evenings, it was before we had care groups. It was one of those times when we had home groups. But it was one of these times in the month where it wasn't home groups, it was a whole church meeting. And so I have a whole church meeting, and I wasn't all that prepared. I didn't think I was all that well prepared. I remember about, just after tea time, standing there in our kitchen, washing up, thinking to myself, I don't want to go to this meeting. If there's anybody else, I could take a night off, but I'm speaking, so I guess I need to be there. I can't be bothered with this. I don't want to go. Nah, well, I guess I better go. I'll be off tomorrow. I'll be all right. So that's the... I'm telling stories of myself now. That's the attitude. That's not the attitude, but that's the thoughts that are there as I come up. Now, it was one of these meetings. There wasn't a whole lot of people there, but there was a good few there. And we had worship. We had some worship time. I don't recall much about the worship other than it was just worship. It wasn't dramatic. It was just worship. Then I opened up, as I intended to 2 Timothy 3, and we chatted through, just to chat through some of the, you may remember being there perhaps, some of the things on 2 Timothy 3. And I was aware, in spite of myself, that there was an anointing of God upon the time of sharing the word, because I could see it witnessing to people's spirits. It was ministering to people's spirits. I'm still feeling nothing, but I can see the word is doing its work. And then at the end of the word, we're praying. And all of a sudden, the presence of the glory of the Lord came upon us. You may have been there, you may remember. And there was just a thickness in the air of the presence of God. Now I have the feelings. I think everybody who was there that night, most everybody at least, felt the feelings. I began to decide that what the Lord was saying was he wanted us to pray for the sick. Now, that wasn't the intention, but we did it anyway, and people were going out left and right and being healed. Steve was still here at one point. He asked for prayer, and I almost said, I felt like, what I mean is, I believe the Lord gave me an inward impression, that he wanted to touch Steve with the finger of God, and just lay a finger on him, not a hand, just a finger. So I just walked up to him, he's about there, and I just laid a finger on him. Finger of God, as it were. And he just collapsed all over the chairs and being ministered to. And then we finally closed the meeting. It was quite late by then. And at the end of the meeting, Steve again decided that he hadn't got much to a prophetic word recently, so he got Nigel and came to me with Nigel and asked us to pray for him, see what the Lord might say. Well, there wasn't a whole lot coming through me, just one little phrase that I don't even remember. And all of a sudden, he went stiff as a board and fell forward and lay there on the steps here for 5 minutes. And it was at that point that the Lord spoke to his own heart and said, not in 1 month, but in three, he was to leave this place and go north to Inverness to help his brother that he'd known for so many years. And some other detail was, it was at that point that the Lord called Steve to go and become an assistant to Tom Roller in Inverness in the church up there. It was that night. Now, I tell that whole story just to say, if I'd listened to my feelings, I'd have stayed home, watched TV, and gone to bed early. Now, I'm not saying that to say, never miss a meeting. If you want to hear that, then fair enough. But I'm not saying it for that reason. What I'm saying is, if you follow your feelings, sometimes you can miss what God has. And sometimes there's nothing wrong, just your feelings. And if I decided to myself, oh, I've done enough. I'm washing up. I'm feeling tired. I don't often do it. I just think, oh, I'll stay home, watch TV, and have an early night. Maybe the Lord couldn't have done what he meant to do that night. But the point is, the feelings can come, but even when the feelings are not there, we still need to act in faith. There's a danger, isn't there, of overplaying the signs. When we train people to pray for the sick, as again we did recently in the folks going to Germany, we teach them to look at the signs. We go over some signs. Now, I don't share that with other people who are not being trained to pray for the sick, because otherwise all we try and do is we try to imitate the signs if we're not careful, just subconsciously. But we pray with our eyes open and we know what to look for, and we look for the signs. We look for the signs of God moving, and that's all right. It's very, very helpful. But sometimes we can see no signs of God doing anything, and our conclusion is God's not doing anything, and that's nonsense. And God can dramatically heal people, and has done, where there be nothing visible at all. So don't let's overplay the signs. The other thing we can do is we can see signs in other people. You know, this person, when everybody prays for him or her, always goes out in the spirit. Or this person over here always cries. Or this person always laughs. Or, you know, something's always happening. And it's always happened to this person. In fact, it's always happened to everybody else, it seems. And the Holy Spirit never works on me like that, and we get discouraged. What's wrong with me? When if we just take our eyes off other people and just open up to the Holy Spirit, there may even yet be no signs, but he just longs to move on us also. Don't wait for the feelings. Function by faith. About once every 3 weeks, it seems to me, it's not as much as that. I give this illustration, and I get fed up with it myself, but it is helpful, so I'll give it again. If you've heard it before, bear with me. Three men. One called faith, one called fact, one called feeling, walking along a narrow wall. Fact is in the lead, faith is in the middle, and feeling is bringing up the rear. And they're walking along quite successfully along this narrow wall. However, at one point, faith, who's in the middle, decides, I wonder how feeling's doing. And so he looks behind him to see how feeling's doing, and he immediately falls off the wall. And feeling falls off too. And it's only when faith gets back up on that wall and follows along this narrow wall with his eye fixed firmly on the fact that he's able to walk a secure line looking at the fact, not at the feeling. And so faith walks looking at the fact, and guess what? Feeling drops in behind and follows along successfully behind. That's the way it works. Well, I'm going to press on here just so I make sure I get myself finished. There will be feelings because it is experiential. But that's not the basis of our relationship. You may have had some feelings when you got saved. One lady I knew, she said when she got saved, she knelt down there at the front of this church building and she felt like somebody tipped a whole bucket of whitewash all down her insides. That's a mixed picture to me. A whole bucket of whitewash down her insides. And she felt clean and made white by that. Well, we may have had some feelings at salvation or at baptism, or at baptism in the Holy Spirit, or a number of other occasions. But the absence of these feelings now does not indicate that we've lost anything. It doesn't indicate dryness, and it doesn't indicate that we're doing terrible, to quote. It doesn't indicate that. Listen, you're saved, if you're saved, because you're saved. You're not saved because you feel saved. You might feel saved because you're saved. But you're saved because you're saved whether you feel saved or not. If you feel saved, makes little bearing on if you're saved or not. You can be saved without feeling saved, and you can feel saved without being saved. The fact is, are you saved? Well, praise God. Then you're saved today and tomorrow and the next day. If you feel saved today, then you're saved. If you don't feel saved tomorrow, then you're still saved. Because it's not a question of how you feel, it's a question of what the truth is. If you're baptized in water, and if you know that's happened, we've less difficulty with that. Oh, I don't feel baptized. And you say, well, nonsense, I know I was baptized. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you're filled with the Holy Spirit if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, not because you feel like you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if the feelings line up, praise God, enjoy it. And if the feelings don't line up, well, we still need to function in faith. If the feelings don't line up, we walk by faith, not by sight, even by the sight or the sensation of feelings. Don't be defeated. Know that victory that the Lord spoke about earlier. Continue unswervingly in faith. We need to come to the place on the walk of faith when we're able to say, I am prepared to move in faith even if my feelings are flat. Even if I feel nothing, I'm still prepared to pick up the mantle and use it. Then we can walk by faith and not be pulled off course, not be stymied by anything, but just keep on going on the walk of faith. Now, 2 weeks ago, we concluded, as we looked at following favors, that we need to be prepared, we need to come to the place in our Christian experience, which may not be immediately, but there will come a point when we can say, I'm prepared to follow him, even if I never see another demonstration of his power. I'm still prepared to follow. I've already seen enough. I'm following him for who he is, not for what he does. He'll do it, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve and follow. And last week we came to the conclusion, I'm prepared, if necessary, to stand outside popular Christian teaching, faddish Christian teaching, in his acceptance. Not as a matter of policy, but if we have to, because we don't believe the Lord is calling us to do what the popular thing is. And this week we're saying, as regards feelings, I'm prepared to move in faith even if my feelings are flat. Teach us, Lord, to walk in faith. Amen? If these three things are in the basis of our relationship, we'll be able to follow him unswervingly. And we said it's how you finish that counts, and finish triumphantly for him.